This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolien Marx.
7:47. I do apologize. We are a little bit late. Rolien Marx, how are you?
I'm always good on a Friday morning chatting to you, H.
Excellent. So, except the fact that I don't know, we were talking to Tonya Curry about it, and we were saying a bit earlier that is it November, is it the fact that everyone's tired here in South Africa at the end of the year, or are we just very, very intolerant and angry on social media, especially when it comes to Israel and our defense of Israel? What are your thoughts?
Okay, so it has been a very, very chaotic week for us all here in Israel, starting with the raid on Sunday night, which saw us losing, you know, one of our finest lieutenant colonels, whose name we don't know and won't know. And this escalated into a massive bombardment of rockets from Gaza into Israel over the next 24 hours, the biggest bombardment we've ever had. And I know many people, including our citizens in Sderot and surrounds, are angry that we agreed to a ceasefire so soon. And this prompted some of the most vicious comments on social media that really, really threw me in it. And it had me wondering, and I spoke to you about it, you know, are we starting to lose perspective? Are we starting to lose our sense of rationale? Because many people, and I have to say, many people not living in Israel said to me, you know, just flatten Gaza. Mm-hmm. And when I would broach the subject of civilians, they would say to me, you know, who cares? They voted Hamas in, and, you know, they're always casualties and all, just flatten, just obliterate. And I really took offense at the kind of language because, you know, living here and going through these situations, and especially when my empathy is for our civilians in the south who don't want their neighbors obliterated or flattened, but do want some kind of lasting solution, and nobody seems to know what that solution is. You know, I don't feel that it serves us as a community, as a nation, and certainly not the state of Israel when we get into a state when we start baying for blood. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I think you and I are very, very much on the same page. I think it's very, very easy. First of all, when we take the human element out of any conflict, I think we land ourselves in deep, deep trouble. We have to understand, and I wrote an article for News 24 this week where I actually tried for a moment to focus on the people of Gaza, because the reality is, whereas Israel, and the essence of my article was that Israel, the Israeli citizens, have an incredibly powerful, loyal government to protect them and to look after their interests. But the citizens of Gaza actually have nobody, because Hamas doesn't care for them, and they use them as pawns in a war which actually doesn't benefit them or anybody at all. And my concern is, the article really was focused on the press, because I think the international press has a job to do here, and they need to take up the banner for the Palestinians, but not just to assume that Israel is the aggressor, but rather to look at Hamas and look at the real situation. So that's an aside. But the reality is that we have to not lose our humanity. And even if, you know, even if these terrible things are happening, there's got to be a way in which it's done. And we've seen, obviously, a lot of conflict within Israel itself, Lieberman resigning, whether he resigned because really it was around the ceasefire or because of a political motive. That's something we're going to discuss a little bit later in the show with Dan Dyker. But the reality is that these are very, very real issues. And I'll never forget a talk that I heard, and his name just slipped my mind for one moment. He wrote the Prime Minister's Avner, I think his name is, and he was he was the advisor for a lot of the Prime Ministers, and he describes a scene where one of the Prime Ministers had just decided and made the decision for Israel to go to war. And he sat down at his desk. He closed the door and he sat down at his desk and he put his head in his hands, knowing the decision that he made is going to cost lives of both sides. He knew that, and he said he saw many a non-religious prime minister praying at that point. And that stayed with me, because we can sit here in South Africa and talk about going to war and going into Gaza and wiping people out, but we don't realize. We've got to think it through, and we've got to think at what it absolutely means. Yehuda Avner, thank you, unsigned. And that's what bothers me with this type of rhetoric.
Well, first of all, you raised several very important issues. Number one, I encourage everybody to go and read your article. And you know, we often say that the world doesn't respond until Israel responds. And what we're not talking about and should be talking about, and there's a tweet, I know I shared it and several people shared it, that our army managed to strike a target with almost zero civilian casualties. The only casualties that we did have were the 7 Hamas operatives that were killed in the raid on Sunday night. But with zero casualties, I mean, that just shows you the commitment of our army to the code of ethics, Pikuach HaNefesh, and respecting human life. In fact, the tweet is from a journalist from the Telegraph saying that he was with soldiers who spent 45 minutes speaking to one guy, trying to get him to evacuate his building before they struck the Al-Aqsa TV station. But you speak so movingly of Yehuda Avner and the toll that these kind of decisions take on a sitting prime minister. Now, for those of us in Israel, war is fought on the backs of our families. You know, when that call to war happens, we don't celebrate. We know that it's going to invite more attacks on our citizens and going deep into the country, more attacks on the citizens of Gaza, who we know are used as human shield and cannon fodder by their leaders, and they shouldn't have to pay the price for their leaders. But also, you know, when you've got loved ones, colleagues, friends, children, who are the ones who have to go on the front line and have to go into Gaza and have to make those split-second decisions. You know, it's a very, very different conversation. And speaking to Israelis and to friends who've got sons in special forces, you know, it's very, very painful and very hurtful to us here when people call for war. Because this means that some of our bravest, our best, our sons, our brothers, our lovers, our colleagues, our friends, our husbands are not coming back. So really, I ask people to take – I know Israel's very emotional for us. I know our connections are strong. And believe me, the support that we have is so important to us and it's so felt. But all we ask from our perspective here is – try sometimes to get a little perspective. It certainly doesn't help our case in arguing for Israel when we are calling for war, when we are baying for blood, and for our soldiers who have to serve. Please think of what calling for war means for them.
Absolutely, and of course that doesn't mean that that people shouldn't have an opinion. We all have an opinion because we invest a lot of our time and our energy and our emotional energy in caring for Israel. So of course an opinion is important, and everybody's opinion is a valid one. But I just think we have to try and keep a little bit of perspective. Of course, this isn't without its controversy in Israel as well, given the fact that there are protests in the south that Tzachi Hanegbi, I think yesterday, had to apologize before for making a comment saying this was a minor incident because it didn't happen in Tel Aviv. So, and I started to get that sense. I wanted to hear your thoughts on it. You started to get the sense over the week of two Israels, of the south and the rest of the country. And it was almost as though the rest of the country weren't quite connecting to what was happening in the south. And the south, people of the south, were feeling a little bit more, were feeling quite isolated. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I love that question. Well, I I think that it's Tsakhi Hanegbi who doesn't seem to have his finger on the pulse of the people of Israel, and it worries me because he's our regional cooperation minister. But the people, the citizens of Israel, from Eilat to Matula, we're all standing with our civilians of the south. You know, I live in Modi. In Modi, Inn is considered a shelter city, and no sooner had we had the start of the barrage of rockets than our mayor sent out a directive that for us, it's still routine, but we are to open our shelters. You know, we are to do everything we can in case we need to bring in citizens of the south. I know that people on the Moshav in the north started talking about making plans to bring children from the south to the north for safety. You know, I know WITSO, we immediately launched an emergency campaign so that we can help the citizens of the south. So, you know, the civilians of the country were with the citizens of the south because, you know, this is when you see Israel at its most magnificent best. And also, I just want to touch on the 48-year-old Palestinian that was killed when his apartment he was living in Ashkelon took a direct hit. It was Israelis who lobbied for him. It was Israelis who sent sympathy and empathy and felt the loss of him. His funeral went with no fanfare, with not even a representative from the Palestinian Authority attending. You know, to me, his life seemed less equal because he was killed in Israel than it did for us, who we really took him as one of our own because, you know, he was there with us. He fell. He lost his life, you know, in the company of Israelis who were going through this. So this is when you see Israel at its magnificent best.
So just and
a lot of us are supporting our civilians of the south in their protests.
I just want to interrupt you. This is an unsigned SMS, and I just want to read it. Morning, Howard. The above text I sent about 3 days ago, and the text is so Israel started this because of the of that operation. So this is what it says. Morning, Howard. The above text I sent about 3 days ago. You read it and said you will address it later, but you didn't. I heard on your news yesterday that a Likud member said that Hamas had a right to do what they did because Israel was wrong in what they did with that secret operation. I didn't hear that. That's my aside. It was also said that Hamas was waiting and was aware of what was about to happen. Why is Israel's sins and wrongdoing not exposed and condemned, but Hamas are called terrorists? And what should the IDF and its government be called? Who gave Israel the right to enter another country and do what they had to do? So, Rolene, if I can just respond for a moment. I think that is an absolutely valid question. What gave Israel, was there any right to do that, to enter another country? Well, the first thing that you're acknowledging here is that Gaza is indeed another country. So if you are standing with, if that is your premise, then you also have to appreciate that for years, Gaza, which is another country, has been lobbying and sending rockets to Israel and attacking Israel and building tunnels and using whatever money they have to destroy the country of Israel. So you can't use both arguments and say that Israel occupies Gaza, because they don't. You can't say that Gaza is a concentration camp, a massive open air. And I'm not saying that you're saying it unsigned. I'm not saying that at all, but that's very, very often the comment. So here's the question is, well, should Israel have been there? Should they have been carrying out this reconnaissance or whatever they were doing? I can't answer that. Probably not. And in fact, I mentioned that in my article as well. But the reality is for preservation of Israel, they do understand fully that if Israel doesn't keep an eye on what's happening in Gaza, then there's a very good chance that its citizens will be obliterated. They are building tunnels, terror tunnels. They are constantly building the rockets and putting them in civilian areas so that they can attack Israel. To ignore that and to not understand what is going on in Gaza would be folly on Israel's side and would probably cost many, many lives. So should, in an ideal world, should Israel be conducting this type of excursion into Gaza? Of course not. But I'm not sure that Israel knows what the alternative is. It's already 8:01. Rolene, any comments before I let you go?
Yes. First of all, Gaza is still considered an enemy entity. We know that there are, yes, as you just mentioned, like a boss, Howard, that Hamas are building tunnels and that they have sworn to our destruction. And because Gaza is an enemy entity, you know, Israel has the right to protect her citizens. Whether or not she was right to conduct this raid is an absolute valid discussion. But in order to stop the rockets, the tunnels, the attempted kidnappings, we have to do everything in our power to protect our citizens. And we've made it well known to members of Hamas that your leaders are targets. And with that, Howard, because I know we have to get to news, I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, and please may it be a peaceful one.
Amen.